The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's September the 14th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the latest white paper from USDA focuses on young and beginning farmers and the high cost of entry into the business. And one pundit says it is late in the game now, despite the fact that the farm bill debate has yet to really heat up, for anything but an extension of the 2002 farm bill to put it in place next year. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Champaign County Farm Bureau. And then, just after the bottom of the hour as usual, meteorologist Peter Levitt should join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. September wheat at 377, down 4.5 cents. December futures off 7 cents at $3.90 and a half. September corn futures 223. They were down 1 for the day. December contract at 237 and a quarter, off a half, and March contract at 251 and a quarter, down 1. December for next year, 282 and three quarters in the corn pit, down 2 and a quarter for the day. Little rally in the bean pit. September contract 532 up 2. November's at 545 and a quarter, 4 and three quarters higher, and January futures at 558 and three quarters, up 4 and three quarters. Next year's November contract at 607 and a half, up 6 and a quarter cents. Soybean meal for the day, 160.80, up 3.30. Soybean oil at 24.54 for the September contract, and they finished 7 cents higher. Feeder cattle at the Mercantile Exchange, down 85 cents at $117 even. October live cattle at 89.25, off $1.07 and a half. And December futures at 89.85 were down 60 cents for the day. The October lean hogs at 64.75 were down $1.17 and a half. From the outside markets, crude oil trading 17 cents lower on the last tick at $63.25. The CRB index at 307.2. down 4.07, and the Dow at 11,516, and that's off just about 27 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hey, Todd.
Tell me what you made of this week's USDA reports and then the trade that has ensued since then.
Well, I suppose I make what about everybody else makes out of it. I mean, the corn number is plenty big, you know, and I, over the years, I haven't really wanted to fight the USDA very much, you know, so I'm not necessarily going to fight them on that. But, you know, I think probably the most important thing now will be to listen to actual yield reports. We've heard the early ones. The early ones are a little disappointing, and that's usually the case, I think. But as we get into hearing some yield reports from the better areas of the Corn Belt, we'll probably have a little better idea whether or not USDA is on target with corn. I suspect, even though the carryout was pretty well left unchanged as USDA found places for the increase, I think that's the next worry, is that whether or not USDA's demand numbers hold up over time. Now, we're not going to know anything on demand numbers. Probably you get a first glimpse at first quarter usage here for the marketing year on the January report. but you're really not going to see a lot until you get at least halfway through the marketing year, and that would be released on the March 31st report. So that's one thing that that I think the trade will be watching, whether or not USDA's demand numbers hold up as strong as what they've said. But there's, you know, to start with, there's a lot of supply around. Farmers are probably going to be tight holders early, but farmers produce grain to sell, so eventually that some of this grain is going to have to go to town. And so I guess it kind of tells me that maybe the market is more flat than anything in here for a while until we find out kind of what's going on, Tom.
On the demand numbers, are you fearful that USDA's ethanol numbers just won't come to fruition because those plants won't be on board yet? Do you think that the higher price in corn that's been predicted will force exports down, a combination of the two? What
could
be
a combination of everything. You know, we don't know where crude oil is going to level out at in here, so there may be some downward price pressure, and you may pull a lot of enthusiasm out of the ethanol market over time. So you don't know yet for sure. But, you know, that's a pretty big demand number that they've got out there. Yeah, we'll just have to kind of see whether or not, you know, how that falls. I mean, you know, we do have a strong open sales, export sales commitment here to start off the new marketing year. This week's sales were probably a little disappointing in here. But overall, the, you know, export demand is off to a stronger start than what we had last year, and we've got a lot of open sales orders. So, you know, that should provide some underlying support early to the marketplace. And, you know, the ethanol demand, we'll just have to kind of see whether or not that materializes.
I know you track the corn cash price, Central Illinois. Can you tell me about your cyclical analysis and follows?
Well, I like the cash market probably better than the futures market. I mean, we have seen some basis improvement. I think the market pulled out of that middle August low with some pretty good vigor. We've kind of had a consolidation phase here or setback since the Labor Day weekend. Now the futures market, it doesn't show much of. We haven't really gained much from the mid-August lows because we lost a lot there going into the report and then coming out of the report here, so we're behind for the week. But the cash market looks like it's in a little better solid footing than the futures market, and that's starting to show you that maybe the demand factor is starting to take hold in the cash market, and that's improving basis levels. The soybean market really is impressive for this week. Basis levels jumped sharply yesterday on a rising market. So the cash market, you've kind of got a weekly reversal up being traced out here in the bean market. So it looks to me, I'm actually probably more friendly soybeans than anything in here. I think corn probably could struggle, whereas beans I think are looking looking up, that they've maybe made an important low, and now we're kind of in the early stages of climbing out of an early harvest low.
That means LDP will be a different play for soybeans than most had thought. Is that right?
Well, yeah, if my work is right, by the time everybody starts combined,
there won't be
much of an LDP.
Yeah.
So there's some early LDPs here. If my cyclical work is dialed in on time and we do begin to strengthen out of here, you know, you're going to narrow in, you're going to lose some of this LDP that has been being offered here over the past couple weeks or so.
And LDP for corn?
Looks like it could still be skimpy. I don't think it's totally a mute issue. But it looks to me like the corn market might be kind of a flat situation near current levels, and it's just not enough to really get any kind of LDPs going. And we'll have to kind of see on the ultimate. I think if a big LDP is going to be offered in corn, it's going to come more toward the end of the harvest, more so than the early part of the harvest.
On that note, how often has... Do you recall, if you know, has a harvest cash low been made prior to harvest?
Oh, a lot of times. And I think this is kind of this year, this is the kind of year that you kind of do some of that stuff on. So, yeah, you can make, if you look back on the charts, you see a lot of July and August lows in the marketplace, early Septembers, and then you know, you see a lot of Octobers and Novembers. So this is not uncommon if we did have a low here posted here back in mid-August.
Well, I can see that in short crop years, but how about in big crop years? Is there a difference?
It depends upon how the market plays the crop year.
Right, I suppose, and it depends mostly on demand.
You know, this year the market got prepared for a big crop. They emptied out their bins. They moved a lot of grain into market channels, whereas last year everybody hung on to it, especially in the Eastern Corn Belt, thinking that we weren't going to have enough of a crop, and then we got, you know, tugged in that, so we went on down. So I think everybody prepared to buy big, steep discounts in the cash market, basis levels and LDPs and whatnot. So now here we are. Everybody's ready to buy into that, and we don't have no flood of corn on the market, and then you've got all that long-term demand looking at us. So I think you've got, you know, demand underneath this market trying to build cash inventories here at these harvest lows, and we'll have to go from there. But I, not that I'm wildly bullish to the upside, but I think there's reason to think that we're more in a sideways type situation in here until we get further down the road and we know exactly how big the crop is. You know, farmers are going to be tight holders, but I mean, I can probably rattle off 100 farmers real quick that, you know, they no more than get their grain in their bin that they're wanting to move it back out on a basis contract or a free DP contract. So those kind of situations will be offered later on in the down the road if the market needs some cash grain, and there'll probably be a lot of grain move into the marketplace.
One final question for you on the corn market. Are you a contrarian, relatively speaking, to everybody else for next spring?
No, I think, well, I'm a little concerned.
You're moderate, then.
I'm a little concerned with all of this bullish enthusiasm, and I mean, there's not a soul out here that really wants to sell new crop corn. Everybody's scared to death, and here we are back down here at $2.82, and I guess my big question to all these bulls is when the crop insurance premiums are, when the price is averaged out for the crop insurance during the month of February, is Dease corn going to average above $2.80? So, I mean, I think that's kind of a good question.
And we appreciate you being with us. And
very well.
We'll take that up later. Thanks much. Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's Ed Kieser forecast for tonight calls for clear to partly cloudy skies, some patchy fog forming. Lows will range from around 50 in northeastern Indiana to 56 in western Illinois. Partly tomorrow, patchy fog early. Otherwise, mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs will range from 77 in northeastern Indiana to 83 in southwestern Illinois. The extended forecast for the two states: dry weather, warm weather expected on Saturday. It'll remain warm on Sunday. Some showers, a few thunderstorms likely entering northern and western Illinois. Showers and thunderstorms will pass across the rest of Illinois and Indiana Sunday night into Monday. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA released its fifth and final Farm Bill analysis paper yesterday. It focuses on strengthening the foundation for future growth in U.S. agriculture. The paper addresses possible barriers to entry for new farmers. The paper indicated the number of young farmers is shrinking. In 2002, farms with over $10,000 in annual sales operated by producers under the age of 35 accounted for less than 7% of the nation's farms. Two decades earlier, it was 19%. The paper says farmers over the age of 65 who own more than one-third of U.S. farmland will have to either sell their assets or pass them on to heirs, bringing up issues regarding farm consolidation. But the biggest issue for young producers is cost. The paper says in 2002, the average farm was valued at $710,000. A former chairman of the National Corn Growers Association says time is running out for lawmakers to produce a radically different farm bill before the 2002 farm bill expires. Dee Vaughn, who was involved in both the 1996 and 2002 farm bills, says it's becoming more likely an extension of the current farm bill is in the cards.
When you start talking about something that's radically different from what we've had in the past, you're talking about you got to go to all the other commodity groups, you've got to get them on board, get them to buy in, you've got to go talk to academia, you've got to get those guys on board to champion your cause, and then you've got to get the Senate Ag Committee Chairman and the House Ag Committee Chairman to agree with you that you've got a chance of making this deal work. And you're talking 2-3 years to put all that process together, and they have a matter of months. So several of the states, Texas, the Corn Producers Association of Texas, Minnesota Corn Growers, Missouri Corn Growers, there's several states within NCGA have kind of pulled and said, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this issue, and we're supporting extension of the Farm Bill.
Meanwhile, the House Agriculture Committee heard testimony yesterday from the nation's ag processors and suppliers regarding the next farm bill. Equipment dealers, grain processor, and fertilizer groups say bioenergy is key to the future of U.S. agriculture. National Grain and Feed Association spokesperson Mike Maleka says CRP acreage will need to be utilized.
We're going to see filter strips being added to protect our inland waters. And we support that, but that land tends to be very productive land. So the whole program that could be revisited would help make good land available for production when it's needed and when the economics allow.
Witnesses testified it might take more flexibility to bring CRP acres back into production. A survey of more than 15,000 producers in 27 states by Farm Foundation's National Public Policy Education Committee indicates bioenergy issues and an adequate safety list top the list of concerns for the next farm bill. Producers indicated they are also concerned about the future of farming, saying the next farm bill needs to enhance opportunities for young and beginning farmers. Producers put disaster assistance programs at the top of their funding list, followed by crop insurance. USDA is apologizing to Kansas cattlemen for a miscalculation that will mean $3.8 million less for livestock drought assistance. Farm Credit Service Deputy Administrator John Johnson says the error was discovered Friday. It included feedlot totals from three states instead of just Kansas in calculating payments. And Brazil newspapers are reporting the government will reopen its case at the World Trade Organization against U.S. cotton producers. A new investigation will likely begin at the end of the month. If the WTO rules again in favor of Brazil, it can impose economic sanctions on U.S. products. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you can pick that program and other ag programming up off our website at willag.org. Well, in today's listener opinion forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Karen Hertz says fall is a time to pay special attention to farm equipment on the roadways.
Too much moisture may be delaying harvest for the time being, but soon the fields will be full of activity as farmers bring in the year's crops. However, just as equipment will be in the fields, it will also be on the roads as farmers move from one field to another. And truck traffic will also increase in some areas as farmers haul grain to local elevators. This increased traffic of large, slow-moving vehicles can increase the risk of accidents. In 2005, the National Highway Safety Administration recorded 1,335 traffic deaths in Illinois, which is the lowest number in more than 60 years. However, rural traffic deaths account for 60% of all traffic fatalities. This is especially significant since only one-fifth of the nation's population live in rural communities. About 20% of farm deaths annually occur from roadway crashes involving farm equipment. The most common collisions occur when an approaching motorist hits a farm vehicle from behind, or when a passing motorist hits a farm vehicle trying to make a left turn. Most farm equipment requires a wide turning radius, so operators often steer slightly to the right before making a left turn. Preventing accidents on rural roads is a two-way street. Both motorists and farmers need to take extra precautions. Farmers should make sure their vehicles are properly marked with slow-moving vehicle emblems and lights, and should try to avoid moving equipment during peak times on busy roads. Motorists should apply their brakes as soon as they see farm equipment ahead, and need to be aware that an equipment operator may not see them behind wanting to pass. Also, if you're unable to pass, please be patient. Following a combine moving 20 miles an hour for 6 minutes takes the same amount of time as sitting at two stoplights. So as you drive this fall, be mindful of who else is on the road. If you get impatient while following a slow-moving piece of farm equipment, just remember that harvest is a relatively short season, and it means so much to our economy both locally and nationally, not to mention ensuring we all have plenty to eat. From the Champaign County Farm Bureau, reminding you to be safe this harvest season, I'm Karen Hertz.
Now, usually I'd say here that Karen Hertz's comments are her own and reflect her opinions, and that they do not necessarily reflect those of this station. That's not the case when it comes to farm safety. Fall is the time of year when more farmers, their families, and their employees are maimed, lamed, or killed. You watch out for them on the roadways. I know they're watching out for you. Please, please be safe this harvest season.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On this Thursday afternoon, we're joined to take a look at the cash grain market by Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers not moving any vehicles around, I suppose, or not too many yet.
No, there's a few guys out there, I think, trying to find something that'll go, but there hasn't really been a lot of activity yet.
It's a bit like planting season. Can't wait to get started, can they?
Yep, I can see why with the way things look, too. I think they're anxious to get in there and see what they got.
Oh, can't wait to see those yield monitors. You know, they'll be talking about the top one all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of that, what are you thinking about the numbers in your area? What will they look like when they come in?
Oh, I think right here in this area, we're going to have some very good yields and be challenging the 2004 yields on corn, if not surpassing them, probably in some cases. The beans, of course, after 2003, I kind of quit trying to predict beans. It's kind of an impossible task. But as the leaves are starting to come off, I mean, it looks like there's some good pods out there. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about the cash grain movement in your area. Has it completely stalled?
Well, pretty much. I mean, there's grain that's moving that's been sold, you know, that had been sold a while back. The basis continues to get stronger, especially on the corn, especially in the processor market. We're still in this phase where 3 weeks from now, I think things will look a lot different as we have got some harvest going on. But at this point in time, if you're trying to buy for a user, you've got to say, you know, does a 5 cent improvement on basis to change corn from, you know, 212 to 217, does that really make any difference in trying to move grain? And it probably doesn't right now.
And what are your bids for the day?
On cash corn, 210, 224 for Jan, 509 for beans, 524 for Jan.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks.
Bill Maris with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather with meteorologist Peter Lebbett. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert.
Senator Dick Durbin says he's fighting an uphill battle to try to overcome opposition from the Bush administration. Durbin wants to pass legislation that would include relief for Illinois farmers who suffered through a major drought last year. The Senate's number two ranking Democrat says more than 20 senators are part of a bipartisan coalition trying to forge ahead with an overall disaster assistance measure. The senator says he's trying to get a proposal up for a vote in the Senate before the chamber recesses for a month-long break. State Comptroller Dan Hines is urging U.S. Senator Barack Obama to run in the 2008 presidential election. Hines today called Obama the man for these times and said he hopes to spark a national movement to encourage the freshman senator to announce his candidacy. Hines lost the Senate primary to Obama in 2004. Since then, he says he's convinced that Obama has the qualities needed to unify the Democratic Party. Illinois' unemployment rate is holding steady at 4.7%. The State Department of Employment Security says the August unemployment rate remained unchanged from July. Illinois' rate has been below or the same as the U.S. rate since May. IDES Director Brenda Russell says Illinois' economy is headed in a positive direction. Starting this fall, the University of Illinois has shortened the anxiety-producing time applicants will have to wait to find out if they've been accepted. Students who apply by November 15th will only have to wait a month until December 15th to find out their fate. Students who apply by January 2nd will be notified by March 1st. Undergraduate Admissions Director Stacy Costell says the new system is intended to alleviate stress for students waiting to plan for their futures. A Champaign art teacher is Illinois' Teacher of the Year. The honors for Booker T. Washington Elementary educator Shauna Carey include a $10,000 grant from the Walmart corporate giving for the school. In a morning assembly, Carey says she was overwhelmed by the reception. Carey says the school plans to use the funds to develop an outdoor collaborative classroom with the University of Illinois and purchase bilingual books for the school's library. The state honor qualifies Carey for a national award. I'm Jeff Bossert. AM 580 News. And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL. We're joined now by Peter Levitt to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast around the nation and the globe. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I am very well. It's really nice out today. 69 degrees. Clouds have been floating in and out, but really pretty comfortable today.
Oh, yes. I think the wet weather we've seen the last day or so, especially in northern areas of the state, has moved out to the east, and we're in for a very nice set of days here. It may get a little bit showery late in the weekend, but we're looking for clear and mild weather, warm weather, actually. Temperatures getting up into the 80s by Saturday, and again in the 80s on Sunday. Except on Sunday, there'll be a pretty active cold front approaching the state through Iowa during the afternoon and evening. It comes across Illinois with showers and thunderstorms again, and these will produce anywhere from a half to 1.5 inches of rain, I think, as it moves on through. And then it cools off quite dramatically as we start next week. I think we're going to see a lot cooler temperatures next week than we've been looking at.
If you could tell me about some of the dividing lines. I know we've been hearing about frost in parts of the northern areas of the Corn Belt and maybe into the western, northwestern areas. Is there some place where there's more likely to be frost, and when will it come, and will it spread to the south?
I don't see it. It's close but no cigar type of deal for the upper Midwest. We're going to see temperatures dipping into the 30s. That is the mid to upper 30s, eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, but I don't think those temperatures will get far enough south to impact any of the crops there. And and I'm not looking at freezing temperatures, only the possibility of some frost, and that is that's not a conflict in terms, rather than not a hard freeze, but just some frost in northern areas. I don't see it being a problem this week.
Just as a reminder, there is a difference between a frost and a freeze, and then a killing freeze as well. And can you talk about that? It seems to me that a freeze is for plants is something like 27 degrees for 6 hours. I don't recall the numbers.
Well, it
exactly.
Depends on the plants. Some plants are very sensitive, but most of the commercial agricultural crops, it takes 28 degrees or colder for several hours for it to be significant. And this is only at different times during the growing season when they're more sensitive to freezes. There are some plants, vegetables, as a matter of fact, that you look at them crossways with a little cold air and they're gone. Tomatoes are the classic example of that. You just have to get below 32 degrees for an hour or so to do in a tomato plant. But for the most of the grains and stuff, it really has to get down there. And even with the crop mature or nearly mature, even if it were to freeze, that is a hard freeze of 28 or lower for a few hours. it would maybe affect the rate of drying of the crop, such as a corn crop, but it wouldn't. You wouldn't lose the crop in anything like that. The crop still has to be in the premature stages, and so far this crop is so far ahead of schedule this year in most of the belt, I don't think that's likely to happen.
Peter, we appreciate you being with us today.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
Peter Levitt is meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on Thursday afternoons. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets on the pre-opening commodity market report with your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great and very safe afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.